It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling and Game Plus. What's a little Dennis the Menace thing I got going up here? You see this one strand of hair up there? All right, let's get that. A little housekeeping. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. Jason, you mentioned here on the break, a little scheduling quirk, that you said Carolina's playing, it's what game here?
11th game. They have not had a bye.
They've already played 11.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay plays their 11th tonight. So those are the only two teams that have a bye left, then, in other words.
Yep, it's interesting.
Rams at Tampa Bay tonight, by the way. Tampa Bay, anywhere between a 4 and a 4.5 point favorite tonight, depending on what shop you're at. Should be a good game tonight, at least on paper. Again, the quirky stat about the Rams tonight, 8 of their 9 second halves this season, the Rams defense has given up a maximum of 3 points.
I really like the under in this game tonight.
It's an incredible stat.
Yeah. It's this new coordinator. They brought in a new coordinator this year. He's doing really good work.
Well, the Rams known for defense, right? Like this year.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, obviously, was, remember when that game against Kansas City where they scored every, like, it was like 50 something.
It's going to change football.
And now they're known for their defense. Bucks, 4.5 point favorites again tonight, hosting the Rams for Monday Night Football. All right, Chrissy. Chris Andrews is here, of course, ladies and gentlemen, who are just tuning in right now, the director of the sportsbook here, the South Point Hotel Casino, my Mish Bucha. You were saying you want to say one more thing about Carolina?
Oh, I'm just saying I'm not going to put the game up on the board until I find out who's playing quarterback.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So okay. A lot of guys have it off. A lot of guys have it up. It's 4.5, a little bit of 4 if people have it up. But I'm just going to wait. I think there's too much of a distance.
Okay, we're halfway through the slate, a full slate of games in Week 12. I got a lot to say about one game coming up, so I think we're going to hit it in this segment. But what's next?
The Titans at the Colts.
That's the one. It's like the weird thing is I'll get to the Colts here because the Colts is where it's funny with the Colts. Last week I did the whole autopsy on the 3rd-and-1s and 4th-and-1s where there were 8 different short yardage situations on 3rd and 4th down for the Colts on Thursday night, and Phillip Rivers wouldn't do any of them. On the 8th, they came in with the pinch sneak and Jacoby Brissett. Today, I got another thing for them. But Titans, first of all, as we talked about, beat the Ravens in overtime, 30-24. 6th win this season by 7 points or fewer for Tennessee. So they're 7-3, 6 of the 7 by 7 points or fewer. Ryan Tannehill, 22 of 31 for 259, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked twice. Derrick Henry, 28 for 133 and a touchdown. Again, heading into the fourth quarter yesterday, Henry only had 44 yards on 18 carries. The Titans trailed 21-13. He finished with 133 on 28 carries, his 6th 100-yard game of the season. Also put him over 1,000 yards for the 3rd consecutive year, by the way. Rambled for 195 yards, as you may recall, to carry the Titans to a 28-12 upset of the top-seeded Ravens in the AFC Divisional Playoff back in January. Corey Davis was Tannehill's best target yesterday, or biggest target, 5 for 113. So Tennessee goes to 7-3, tied atop the AFC South with their opponent, the Indianapolis Colts, who beat the Green Bay Packers yesterday in overtime, the only other overtime game, 34-31 in a game that the Packers led 28-14 at the half. And for those of us who had the Packers, we were feeling oh so good about it. But Indianapolis erased the 14-point halftime deficit, failed to seal the win because of 5 holding calls on its final drive in regulation. I want to get into that in a minute. But Green Bay won the coin toss in overtime after Rodgers had the game-tying field goal drive at the end of regulation, won the coin toss. But then Valdez-Scantling, who had the big catch on that final regulation drive, he lost a fumble when he was hit by Julian Blackman on Green Bay's second play of overtime. DeForest Buckner recovers 4 plays later. Rodrigo Blankenship through the uprights, 39-yarder, 7-10 remaining in OT. Winner, chicken dinner for the Colts. Phillip Rivers, 24 for 36 for 288, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. 420 total yards of offense for the Colts. They did have 8 penalties for 116 yards, but it was those 2 turnovers plus 2, 4 turnovers for the Packers, 2 for the Colts in this game. But that plus 2 was huge, including the turnover on the ensuing kickoff after the Colts had come all the way back to tie the game at 28. So that was the big deal. And before we get into this, let me just remind folks once again that this is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling and Game Plus, Skill Alexander, it's Chris Andrews. Guessing lines for Week 12 in the NFL, it's our Monday ritual where we try to extract value from our first look at the upcoming weekend's lines. But that last sequence, let me just say, so the Colts thing, when they beat the Titans two games ago, they just, Phillip Rivers finally came out of the sneak closet where it was clearly apparent that, okay, it's got to be in his contract or something. He doesn't sneak. It's what I've been saying on this show for years and on the podcast for years. He doesn't sneak. And that's going to matter in a key high leverage moment in some postseason game. Well, last night, or yesterday rather, the Colts could have put this game away in regulation, and it was the weirdest sequence. Again, five holding penalties down the stretch. I have them all listed in script, but I don't really have to go through them. But from the 2:17 mark, 2:17 left in the game, and the Packers had three timeouts at their disposal at this point in the game, and all Indianapolis had to do was just sort of, you know, make them use their timeouts, kick a field goal, game was over. But they kept holding. There were five offensive holdings, and the Packers didn't have to use any of their timeouts. So finally, they converted a 4th-and-4 right under the two-minute warning, and then the Packers finally had to use the first timeout, and they still kept holding and holding again. And so what ended up happening is that they ended up with a 2nd-and-30 and a 3rd-and-26. Phillip Rivers ends up throwing they end up punting. Remember, there was an earlier play where Phillip Rivers looked like he might have fumbled, and it went the other way. But it was a correct call that was incompletion. But they end up punting, up three in the end, and Green Bay had only used two timeouts, and so they gave the Packers life where they shouldn't have been. And it was just this weirdest sequence at the end of that game, and so you just wonder again: the Colts, even in victory, 2 weeks in a row now, even in victory, it could have been so much easier both times. Just wonder about this team. All I had to say, the Colts are probably a 3-point favorite here.
I like your number better. It's 3.5. Boy, I don't know. My numbers came to 2.5. Boy, I don't know. Three and a half just seems too. I mean, they beat this team 2 weeks ago, and I know guys for many, many years, and I'm not sure this holds up anymore, but they would always bet against the team that won the first matchup in these divisional games. And like I said, I'm not sure that holds up, and I don't have any numbers to prove one way or the other. But it seems to me, like you're saying, I think the Colts manage either to win games with much more difficulty than they should have. And the Titans managed to win a lot of these close games. And I like the Titans in this spot, plus the 3.5. I think that's way too high. Like I said, my numbers come to 2.5, and as I was making my numbers last night, I just can't get the 3 with this game. I just couldn't do it. You know, and here they are, they open 3.5. I'm going to put a mark next to Tennessee for me.
Yeah, if you're giving me the hook, I'm taking the Titans. I think that's the second one I like a lot. And again, Colts fans and Colts backers are going to say, hey, Gil, they won both games, so stop talking about the Colts. But
they did.
But they did. But like really, literally from the 2:17 mark to the 1:25 mark in regulation, I mean, it's offensive holding enforced. Offensive holding declined. Illegal motion declined. Hold on, there's more. hold on. Offensive holding. Let's see, another one. Offensive holding declined. On and on and on. It's just like the Green Bay was like, we don't have to use any of these timeouts because the clock keeps stopping. It was incredible to watch it. I got so many tweets after the game like, what did I just see? I was like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. But Indianapolis somehow manages the win. And good for them, by the way. Green Bay in the second half of that game, and we'll get to them momentarily. But Green Bay in the second half of that game, 3 points, two turnovers on 6 drives in the second half in overtime. So utter domination by that Colts D, despite the shenanigans from the offense. All right. I think I like Tennessee. If you're giving me the hook plus 3.5, I'll take Tennessee. What's next?
The Chargers at the Bills.
Chargers, survivor. got it done for me. They beat the Jets. By the way, they only beat them 34-28. It should be pointed out. The Chargers punter Ty Long. So there's seconds left in the game, and it's 34-26. By the way, the Chargers had to already withstand a drive from the Jets at the end of this game. The Chargers were crushing the Jets in this game, and somehow I started losing attention and going to every other game, and I'm like, okay, I got the survivor pick, and then every now and again I would glance over, I'd be like, Anthony Lynn can't blow this, can he? And so then the Jets had a potential game tying drive if they'd gotten a touchdown and a two. The Chargers were able to stop him, but then with seconds left in the game, I think there was 7 seconds left or 8 seconds left. The Chargers were up 34-26. They had a fourth down. And so Ty Long, their punter, was instructed, all right, you know, just run back, take a safety, we'll be good. But apparently no one told Ty Long, take all the time. And he left a second on the clock. Like, you could have run around a little and taken this. So there was a second. So the Chargers had to actually withstand a final punt return up 6 to the Jets. And by the way, the Jets, in all their ineptitude, didn't even get one lateral out of it. It was ridiculous. But the Chargers win. And Justin Herbert, your offensive rookie of the year for sure. 37 for 49, 366, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 3 times sacked. Begging the question, what was Oregon doing with this guy?
He's the best young quarterback, I think. Most impactful of all the young quarterbacks, I think. He's a star.
But, like, how do you manage to just be, like, kind of a meh team? Yeah, I get it. They were close to the top of the Pac-12, but you know what I mean.
In a bad offensive system, people were saying that he would probably come out of his shell a little bit when he came to the pros.
Mario Cristobal, the answer to that question. Keenan Allen, 16 catches, franchise record for 145 and a touchdown. He was targeted 19 times. First receiver in NFL history to have 6 games of 13 catches or more, Keenan Allen. The Chargers were 9-15 on third down, and their 34-28 win over the Jets. 29 rushing yards, though. That's it. Didn't need them. 36-28 time of possession advantage over the Jets, 23-32. They're at Buffalo. Buffalo had a bye. Buffalo 7-3, 1-game lead now in the AFC East over Miami. I'll say Buffalo, no man's land, 5.5 over the Chargers.
Ah, you're dead on. It's 5.5. My power ratings come to 5, so I have no beef with the 5.5 at all. I think that's a good number for a Buffalo team that wins doesn't always cover, but, you know, probably a little better offensively than we thought they would be at the beginning of the season. And Chargers, they keep everything close and then
they do
usually blow it in the end, you know, and they did all they could to blow last night's game too. I can tell you that because I needed the Chargers myself, but I think 5.5 is a good number, and that's what I'm going to open.
Did you lose any of your 4 survivors, Chris?
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Oh, that's
but,
right.
Yes, sorry. I sorry. Did. Pardon. I lost one. I lost one.
That's right. I forgot. We weren't going to talk about it. I forgot. I apologize. I got the Chargers. That's for sure. And so Survivor, I'm excited by that. But yes, it got harrowing at the end of that.
The Chargers look good on a tease, I like.
As Aaron, a tease here? By the way, the reason it's 5.5, the reason I guess 5.5, because if it was 4.5, everybody would bet the Bills. And if it was 6, I think everybody would kind of say, well, the Chargers crowd, you know, they always keep these games close. And they do, as Aaron Schatz said from Football Outsiders a couple weeks ago, they are the most consistent team through his prism of DVOA. They are the most consistent team in the NFL from week to week. They always show up. Always. They never lay an egg. They manage to mess it up, as you say, at the end of games, but they always show up. All right, what's next?
Next up, the Dolphins at the Jets.
Dolphins at the Jets. This was interesting yesterday because the Dolphins went into Denver. A lot of people loved the Dolphins yesterday, and they were pretty much, I mean, I don't want to use the word dominated, but they were never really a threat to win this game. Not really in the second part of this game. They lose to the Broncos 20-13. They lose as 4-point closing favorites. Their 5-game winning streak snapped. Tua was 11 for 20 for 83 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 6 times. So remember, Matt Ryan was sacked 8 times by the Saints, but Tua was sacked 6 times by the Broncos. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick came in the fourth quarter. He was 12 of 18 for 117. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked zero times. And you really got the sense at that point, oh, maybe the Dolphins have a shot here with Fitzpatrick. But Tua was taken out in the fourth, and a lot of people were asking, was he taken out because of the six sacks and because on that last sack, his leg was bent pretty badly, had to sort of limp off the field. Was he taken out because of injury or because Brian Flores made the coach's decision? And Flores said after the game had nothing to do with the injury, that it was a coach's decision. At least that's what he, so for him to go out and say that, that's interesting. But his left leg was bent awkwardly on the final sack by Bradley Chubb. Tua, that is. 222 total yards. That's it for the Dolphins. Just 56 rushing. Justin Simmons intercepted Ryan Fitzpatrick pass in the end zone with 63 seconds left. That sealed the deal for the Broncos, 20-13. And the Jets, against the Chargers in that loss, that six-point loss, Joe Flacco was 15 of 30 for 205, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. New York drove to the Chargers 32 with under a minute remaining, as I was mentioning, before turning over the ball on downs. And the Jets now off to the worst start in franchise history. By the way, that was after the that was before the safety shenanigans. The Jets off to the worst start in franchise history. 21st team since the merger to begin a season 0-10. First team eliminated from postseason consideration. So those of you who had to were still holding out hope for your Jets to make the playoffs tickets. Sorry, it's over. I'll say Miami -7.5 at the Jets.
Yeah, again, I like your number better. It's 6.5 or 7. Juice either way. 6.5 juice on a favorite, 7 juice on a dog. I'm opening 7 flat. You know, my power rating has come to a lot higher, but once again, diminishing returns on the favorite. Just couldn't make it as high as my power rating has come to. I got the Jets really at the bottom of the barrel. They played hard yesterday. They looked, you know, as good as they could possibly look, I guess, for this team. But, you know, the Dolphins, I think after laying an egg, I think they come back strong. By the way, Flores already announced that it will be Tua as his starting quarterback this week, so that there's no dissension there in the cap. I like the Dolphins. I don't know if I want to lay the 7 on the road, but gun to my head, I would certainly pick the Dolphins.
I'm surprised. The reason I said 7.5
looks
is because
like a good teaser. Yeah,
yeah. If it was 7, I would have thought everybody would have bet the Dolphins at that point. Dolphins feel like a good teaser play.
Dolphins,
sure.
Chargers, solid teaser legs.
Technically, not your old Stanford Wonkas on the road, but
neither of them.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more, Chrissy.
Saints at the Broncos.
Saints at the Broncos. Okay, it's time for young Gil to issue an apology. You ready for this? Taysom Hill, I apologize for everything I've ever said to you or about you. Saints 6-0 now without Drew Brees since the start of last season. 6-0. Taysom Hill yesterday, 18 of 23 for 233.
Sean Payton, coach of the year?
Stop it. 18 of 23 for 233. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. 10 carries for 51 yards, two touchdowns. Did have one fumble lost. It's his first NFL start at quarterback. That was his first start ever. He had 46 previous games before finally getting his first start under center. Entered having thrown, this is interesting. I don't know if people really sort of got this. Taysom Hill entered the game having thrown just 5 passes with 4 completions for 86 yards this season, and lifetime was 10 of 18 for 205 career. Drew Brees sidelined at least 3 games, beginning with yesterday's games.
With
what they called multiple rib fractures, and then yesterday we found out it was 11. Yeah. 11.
How many?
Listen, a little anatomical study will tell you. I believe we have 12 pairs of ribs, so that's a half a rack right there almost.
My goodness, that's a lot of ribs.
Jeez. Sean Payton gave Hill the nod over Jameis Winston, as we know. Michael Thomas, hey, welcome back. 9 for 104. Had 10 touches all year before yesterday. And the Saints had 168 rushing yards, led by Hill. And then there's Denver, who we just talked about, beating the Dolphins. Drew Lock, 18 of 30 for 270. No touchdowns. One pick, sacked zero times. Melvin Gordon, 15 for 84. Two touchdowns. Patrick, 5 for 119. But a lot of that 119 was on that last just throw up in the air by Lock. But a 459 to 222 total yards advantage over the Dolphins. That's the thing. Going back to Tua for a second, Chris. That's the thing with this little like Tua mini era so far. It's all been marked by defensive help. Like the Dolphins defense has helped out in every situation. And again, only 83 yards passing for him yesterday. Back to this game, New Orleans at Denver. New Orleans minus six, I'll say, gingerly.
Yeah, I see five and a half and six. I like the six better. I got to tell you, going into yesterday, I had lowered my power rating on the Saints 3 points, you know, because, you know, I mean, we've seen Hill, but not, you know, starting quarterback role. But, you know, really did think with Sean Payton as the coach, first of all, you figure he made the right decision watching these guys in practice all week. And, he is a great coach. There's no doubt, especially offensively, no doubt about it. I don't have him 2 points worse anymore. I got him only 1 point worse. Naturally, we have to see a little more out of Hill before we crown him the next Steve Young, which I've heard some guys say. But I like six better. My power range actually comes a little higher, more like, I hate to say it, like nine. But, Broncos look good, particularly on defense yesterday. But I think six, good number, good place to start.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't really take back what I said about Sean Payton throwing Taysom Hill in as a changeup when Drew Brees was playing, because that was always annoying to me, and I always felt it was overblown in terms of what it does to Saints drives. But what I was impressed by with Hill yesterday was 18 for 23. That is what the question mark was, and he was very accurate yesterday. So 18 of 23 for Taysom Hill. Not a bad start to the non-Drew Brees games here. Coming back, we got more guessing lines right here in a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
It's BetMGM Nevada's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Just wanted to say it that way one time. That really sounds like ownership right here. By the way, a numbers game brought to you by Manscaped. That's what I really wanted to tell you. Manscaped's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools, rather, for your family jewels. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. By the way, Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so the trimmer cuts safe down yonder. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. Get 20% off and free shipping with code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code VSIN20. Clean up down yonder and make Santa proud this year, because that's what Santa is concerned with. He just wants you to be clean down there. Isn't that right, Jason?
Yes, I'm sure Santa manscapes himself.
All right, by the way, Survivor update, hit it. No, anybody?
I'm a survivor.
There you go. Any excuse to play a little Destiny's Child. We do it here on this show. All right, Circus Survivor yesterday, just to use this as a reflection of Survivor pools around the country. But there was the big one, the Vikings. There were 301 entries headed into this week at Circus Survivor. Four entries did not get in under the gun, including three from one dude.
Ouch.
Emailed Mike Palm and the folks at Circa at 3:08 p.m. on Saturday, eight minutes past the deadline.
This is a brutal story.
3:08 p.m. He said, give me two Chargers, give me one Vikings. Yeah, we'll give you nothing. By the way, shout out to Circa for adhering to their rules.
Oh, absolutely. Rules are rules.
Rules. That's what rules are. Rules are rules. Except when they're not, when they're written poorly and stupidly. All right, here we go. Not in Circa, though.
Chrissy, are you still alive?
Oh, Chrissy, there you are. How you doing? No, stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
No, I meant
no,
in Survivor.
Stop it. Jason didn't get the memo.
Did you get the memo?
Jesus. All right, so 301 to 297 before the week even starts. And then yesterday, 72 go out with the Vikings, another 17 with the Dolphins, Ravens, and Patriots. So we're down to 212.
Weekend.
We are down to 212.
The gauntlet is happening.
But here's the thing. Now it's Thanksgiving. And as I've said from the beginning, yeah, I'm still in it. And there should be, you know what? It's like, this is the point where you're like, you know what? I got all the way to Thanksgiving. And I feel good about what we've done. I got all the way to Thanksgiving. And congratulations to all of us who did. And then it restarts after Thanksgiving. But what happens on Thursday, and I'm not at all downplaying this, it's a complete crapshoot. If you have multiple entries left, this is where your advantage is. And now the interesting thing is people who do have multiple entries, like my buddy E, he's already in this, wow, should I do the thing where I play both sides or should I just go for both? Now, see, that's the problem with people who have multiple entries. They start to outthink themselves and they're like, nah, maybe I'm just going to try to get both through. And I'm like, dude, don't do that. If they weren't coin flip games, I get it. They have lines. We just talked about them. But if they weren't like toss up games, like all three of them are, then I would say to you, okay, maybe try your little thing where you try to get everyone through. But if you have multiple entries with these three games, you have got to ensure your way through this. That is absolutely how I would play it. For those of us mere mortals who only have one, oh my God. I legit, you know how all those other weeks, Jason, I was saying, well, you could play this, you could play that, you could play this. And I always told you at the end of the week, I was never not playing the Steelers. I was never not playing the Packers. I was never not playing the Chargers. I am legitimately telling you here 72 hours before these games on Thanksgiving, I have no idea who I'm playing. None. And the only one I don't have at my disposal is the Steelers. Chrissy, were you me, would you have the exact same attitude, like complete confusion? With one entry?
How many entries do you have?
One. Started with two. Jesus. Started with two. By the way, I should have started with five. That was my mistake.
And you already used the Steelers?
That's the only one I've used, yeah. No idea what to do.
Yeah, I think...
It's a prayer.
I'd go both sides.
Well, I don't have two. I only have one, so I can't go both. Yeah,
oh, you only have one?
Yeah, I only have one.
Team up with somebody.
And, yeah, there's an idea. Anyway, if I get through that, Sunday's really hard, too. It's the gauntlet, as I said. These three games, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, is the gauntlet. If you can get through all those, man, the light at the end of the tunnel at that point. We shall see. What was that, Jason?
I'm a survivor.
Oh, that's what he wanted to do. Well, as long as we can play it, might be for only three more days, we should play it. Coming back, more Guessing Lines with Chrissy right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The College Hoops Betting Guide is out today. Very exciting. And now's the perfect time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get this massive in-depth guide to all the teams, conferences, and impact players for this unique college basketball season. It has predictions, insights, stats, and research from all our VSiN basketball experts. And you'll want to dive in before the first games tip off this week, and they tip off Wednesday. Whole bunch of games on Wednesday. Get the Hoops Betting Guide plus everything VSiN has to offer every day of the basketball season and all year round at a 25% savings right now. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Congratulations to Matt Humans, who led the charge on that. Also, I want to say Hoops Peterson is involved in that as well. Tim Murray, I think, might be. I don't know. I'm just riffing. Now I'm just guessing who's involved. But congratulations to all those guys, because it's a great feat to do that.
Supposed to be a very, very profitable time of year, the first couple of weeks of college basketball
some
season.
Some bettors, some pro bettors swear by it. It's not my thing. But some pro bettors swear by early college basketball in a year, 2020, that is, you know, unlike any other. We'll see how it goes for college hoops. Obviously, college football has had its challenges. We're guessing lines for week 12 in the NFL. It's Gil Alexander. Chris Andrews is here as well. By the way, Chris, a prediction. Do you think Sisolak will go from 25% to 12.5% next time when he does this, when he pairs it back? That's 6.25. Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to point that out. Just watching TV. Just distracted. All right, let's do two more games here before the primetime games.
49ers at the Rams.
By the way, do I have that right? If my math is correct, we have four games left. 49ers at the Rams.
Yeah. You're right.
The Rams haven't played and the 49ers didn't play. So I don't have much to add to this other than, again, the Rams are at the Bucks tonight. Bucks are 4 or 4.5 point favorites, depending on where you're shopping. And the Rams defense, as I mentioned, 8 of 9 second halves this season have given up a maximum of 3 points, the defense. So that's impressive. But I will say sight unseen with the Rams tonight, they will be about 6 point favorites, I'm guessing, against the Niners. Just a guess.
Six and a half and seven. Okay. I like the higher number. My ratings came to 9. I was talking to Matt Humans, who you were just talking about. By the way, I'm so glad Deason has him. He's one of our best writers and a very sharp handicapper.
Absolutely.
He is. Yeah, he really is. But we were talking about this Rams defense, and I am just really impressed with this defense. This is a really good team, and just such a lost season for the 49ers. So, like I said, I see 6.5 and 7, mostly 6.5, but I'm going to open 7. If they want to give me a bet, I will gladly take that. I don't see the Niners putting up too many points against this team.
Just so hard with the Niners, right? A mash unit. 4-6 on the season, no fault of their own. You know, who knows what you get with them from week to week. They're just trying to piece it together and get through it all. But we do know no Kittle, no Thomas, no Bosa, as they have been for the latter two guys for the whole season pretty much. And it will be Nick Mullins again at quarterback. All right, what's next?
No Garoppolo.
So 7 you're putting up? Is that
7. I'm opening 7.
Okay.
Chiefs at the Bucks.
Bucks, again, who have not played yet. They play tonight against the Rams. Yeah. Chiefs, as we mentioned yesterday, Chiefs now 9-1. So as long as they're winning games, the pressure is still on the Steelers to win football games in the AFC. Remember, only one bye. Only one team gets a bye in this expanded playoffs. That is, unless the contingency plan ever goes into effect. If COVID still wreaks havoc between now and the end of the year, in that case, nobody would get a bye, and we'd add another team. Per conference. But as is the case now, only one team gets a bye. Chiefs beat the Raiders, as we mentioned earlier, 35-31 yesterday. They do not cover as 8-point closing favorites. Patrick Mahomes, 34 for 45, 348, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Only his second pick of the year. Wasn't sacked. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 14 for 69, 2 touchdowns. Kelce, 8 for 127 and a touchdown. Tyreek, 11 for 102 and a touchdown. 36 first downs for the Chiefs.
Wow.
Ties a franchise record.
You know that was possible.
460 total yards. They did have 10 penalties for 89. Andy Reid now, you said this last week all the time, Jason. Andy Reid after a bye is a thing.
I think he's 18-3 now or 19-3
now. 19-3 after a bye, straight up we're talking, since 1990. I would imagine the Chiefs will be 4-point favorites at Tampa Bay. I think it'll be over 3. That's my guess.
I like your number better, Gil. My power ratings come to a 4. It's only 3. Three to me is a one-way number. I wouldn't want to take Tampa plus a 3. I keep going back mentally to that New Orleans game against Tampa, where they just thoroughly dominated this team. And I have I know everybody's ready to have the Bucks in the upper echelon of the NFL. I'm just not quite so sold on them. I kind of like the Rams tonight. I know it's getting up there, but like I said, I love their defense. I think the Bucks might be vulnerable to that. But my ratings come to 4. I still think, listen, the Chiefs, I think they ran into a bit of a buzzsaw last night. I think the Raiders are very underrated and a good team. And they had trouble winning. They did pull it out. But I think 3 is a little light. Like I said, to me, 3 is a one-way number. I'll open 3 because I don't like to mess around too much with that because we do everything at 11-10 and I can get myself in trouble if I go to 3.5. So I'll open 3. You know, we'll take the game down, kickoff tonight. But at this point in time, I like the higher number. I like it higher than 3, but I don't see anything higher than that at all right now. Not even juice or anything like that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you get the sense from the Raiders last night? I think you're right. Underrated. But do they match up particularly well with the Chiefs? Is there something about the Raiders that they just play the Chiefs well? And then, you know, because I was, again, not to make everything about Survivor, but was going through all the games that I've gotten by in Survivor this year. And like one of the by far easiest was the Patriots beating the Raiders. Like of all things, you look back, you're like, how was that that easy? So it's just, and they didn't have, right? They didn't practice on defense. Maybe that was a good thing. Who knows, going into yesterday's game. But do you think it's a matchup thing with the Raiders, or do you think they're just good, period?
Well, I think the matchup certainly helps because, listen, they beat them once, and then they covered yesterday and easily could have won. I don't want to say easy. It's never easy when you're facing Mahomes. But they could have won that game, certainly. So you have a point there. But I'll tell you what, I really think with the Raiders – you know, it took Derek Carr a while, and we don't get to see that too much in the NFL anymore. Right. You'd see it like when I was young through the 70s. I mean, go back and look at Terry Bradshaw's first 2 years. I mean, it compared to like to Ryan Leaf. They're almost identical. I don't know if we would have a chance to see that out of a quarterback again. We probably would at certain times, you know, of course. But Derek Carr is just one of those guys. He's gotten better and better and better. And, you know, I'm not sure he's in the MVP race, you know. Sorry, Jason. But I think that
he's definitely been great.
He's playing at a really high level. He's playing at a high level. He's come into his own. He's a very legitimate top quarterback in this league. And I think that's what makes the Raiders so good.
Got to step in and take a break. And like I said, a couple drops as well. Could have been better. We'll come back. We'll finish it up. Guessing Lines, Week 12, right here on a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on the Rams or Bucks to score a touchdown tonight. Sign up and use bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Rams or Buccaneers to score a touchdown. New customer offer. Paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Okay, let's go to tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Eric Torres just watched a trailer on The Best of It. Any idea where I can watch the documentary? Have a great holiday. Hey, Chris, hope you're doing well. First of all, Chris, you doing well? You okay? How's your wife, Pam?
She's fine, too. You know, she's finally tested negative. So, you know, she never had any symptoms, but she did finally test negative. So
good. Okay. By the way, Amazon Prime is the answer to the Best of It question. Might cost you $1.99, but that's where it is. Stacey Wilkie, love starting my week with Gil and Chris. It just makes Mondays bearable. Thank you, Stacey. That's very kind of you. Let's see here. Just a couple more of these. This is from Easy Pickens 2. Since I've been watching the NFL 1965, no team has had more refs in their pocket than the Green Bay Packers. Guess he didn't like those holding calls. And then Codology, this weekend is Survivor's Amen Corner. Yes, it is. That's a great call.
Well put, yeah.
Well put. Sure is. Yeah. Sure is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the primetime games. I think that's all we have left Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay, Bears at the Packers.
I should say not if your rules are stupid, but if you they're vague and you misapply them. That's what I meant to say. What was it again? I'm sorry. What was that, Chrissy? I just had a thought. Bears at Packers?
No. Okay. Bears at the Packers, yeah.
All right, Bears didn't play, so the Bears are 5-5. Packers, as we mentioned, lose that game to the Colts, and we went through the whole holding call stuff. I could do it play by play. I wrote them all down, but I don't want to bore you. But just a holding fest for the Colts at the end of regulation kept the Packers in it. Colts still prevailed in overtime. Green Bay, 3 points, two turnovers on six drives in second half and overtime yesterday. Jeez. Aaron Rodgers was 27 of 38 for 311, three touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. Devontae, 7 for 106 and a touchdown. The Packers only ran 18 plays over the final 33 minutes. That's it. They had four turnovers. Yeah, four turnovers. Before that, in their first nine games, they had an NFC low five turnovers total. Had four turnovers in this one game. And they were minus two in turnovers here. Four for them, two for the Colts. And usually that's all you need to know. And again, two of those huge for the Packers. One, that fumble on the kickoff after the Colts had tied the game, after they had erased the 14-point deficit. Fumble on the ensuing kickoff. It allowed the Colts to go up in the game thereafter. And then, of course, in overtime, the big turnover on the second play that the Packers ran. Valdez-Scantling, who had that great play in the final drive of regulation when they were backed up and Rodgers just heaved it and he came down with it right around midfield. But I'll say the Packers, this is Chicago at Green Bay. A lot of people are going to like Green Bay and Survivor if they're lucky enough to get past Thanksgiving. Yeah. They're going to like the Packers here. I'll say Green Bay minus seven.
Yeah, it's 7.5 and 8. You know, we still got questions about the Chicago quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Foles or Trubisky, not that there's any difference between the two of them point spread wise. To me, there is not. But I'm not sure either one of them is healthy. And who else do they have? They got, I can't remember the other guy they have. Some guy I'd heard of, but hasn't played a whole lot. So I like the 7.5, and I see 7.5 and 8. You know, I'm just debating, is this a good spot for Green Bay coming off a loss where they should have won? You know, the four turnovers, probably an aberration. You know, the Bears defense has been, you know, pretty darn good, but they still give up in the mid 20s almost every week. I think Rodgers could probably outdo that. And I'm not sure the Bears are going to be able to put too much on the board themselves. So I think I'm going to open 8 just because I think the public will be on it. Like I said, even though my power ratings come a little lower, just worried about the quarterback situation for Chicago. And see how the things work out this week. I think it might be a good spot for the Packers.
Yeah, Foles not seriously injured when he was carted off the field the other night. No, in the end, no serious injury. Okay. Mm-hmm. Monday night.
Seahawks at the Eagles.
Seahawks at the Eagles. Seahawks coming off a bye. Oh, excuse me, not a bye. Extra rest. They beat the Cardinals on Thursday night, pardon me, by a touchdown. And then there's the Eagles, which we'll get to here momentarily. Russell Wilson in that game against the Cardinals, 23 of 28 for 197. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. Remember, he had committed 10 turnovers in the previous four games combined. Seahawks had 165 yards rushing in that game against the Cardinals. By the way, their four upcoming games are against teams with a combined 8-28-1 record. So the Seahawks, who after tonight could either be in the lead or tied for the lead in the NFC West, next four games playing teams with a combined 8-28-1 record, setting up nicely for the Seahawks. And then there's the Eagles, who we talked about earlier in their game against the Browns. The Eagles are the proverbial team that as in the run up to the game that they play, you're like, oh, I'm playing the Eagles here. I've got to play the Eagles. This clearly points to the Eagles. And then a drive into the game, you're like, why did I bet on this team? Not that I bet on them. Carson Wentz, 21 for 35, 235, two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked five times. He has now been sacked a league-leading 40 times. 40. The Eagles were 2 for 12 on third down. They were 2 for 2 on fourth. But they were minus 2 in turnovers. And as I mentioned, that first touchdown for the Browns, the first points in the game was that pick six where Denzel Ward smacked Carson Wentz, didn't feel him coming. Ball went up in the air, talkie-talkie to the house. Starting center Jason Kelce hurt his elbow in the first half. His loss forced the Eagles to turn to undrafted rookie Luke Jarriga, 12th lineman used this season for the Eagles. Kelce played the second half in a large brace. And then Lane Johnson, this just in, hurt his shoulder in the second half. Lane Johnson always in and out of the lineup. So Seattle's got to be a favorite here, and I'll say by 4, more than a field goal, at Philly.
My numbers came to 7. But your number's a little closer. It's 5.
Seven.
And actually, last night it was 5.5. You know, last night there's mostly 5.5s, and they're gone. So somebody actually, there was a little bit of a move on the Eagles. But I'm with you. You know, I put this out last week, and I think I even said it on your show. Paul Henbekides, who is one of my countrymen and a producer at ESPN, he posted this, and we follow each other on Twitter, but he posted how many games quarterbacks were under 50 in their QBR. Of course, 50 is just an even, an average number. And going into last week, I forget what Wentz was last week. He had the most in the league with 6. Now, yesterday's QBR was 20.2. I mean, just horrible. We have got to quit making excuses for Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
We're always making excuses for this guy. And, a couple years ago, he was probably going to be the MVP if he didn't get hurt. And I understand that. But maybe that injury took a lot out of him, or maybe this guy's figured him out, or, whatever. But we can't keep making excuses for him. I'm going to open 5 just because I even see some 4.5 showing up. I know the way this works. The wise guys will come in and take the 5, on a home dog. But by Monday night, I'd like to promise you I need Philadelphia. That's just the way it's going to go. But
yeah,
the first wave will come in on Philly. But I'm going to be very nimble in my – as soon as I see this starting to move up, which it probably will on, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, something like that, I'm going to be moving this up because I like the Seahawks at 7. And I'm not even that high on the Seahawks. Their defense their defense is not playing well. And even I'm glad they won against the Cardinals. We needed them and all that. But they didn't look that great to me.
No.
But the Eagles are just – they're heading south. And look at their next 3 games. They'll be significant dogs in the next 3 games. So if you have a ticket on them to win the division, I know you're in first place now by 0.5. It ain't going to last. Trust me.
Eagles half-game lead once again over the rest of the NFC East. They're 3-6-1. Everybody else is 3-7. And unless the Cowboys and the Washington football team end up in a tie – someone, Washington or Dallas, will take over the lead, at least temporarily, at least until the Monday night game, or Sunday as well with the Giants, but Monday night with the Eagles playing, hosting the Seahawks. I wonder if the Seahawks might be an interesting survivor pick for some who want to go a little contrarian. I'll say it the last time. Thanksgiving's a wing and a prayer. After that, Sunday's difficult.
Dolphins are good.
That's the gauntlet.
You can always still fade the Jets.
If you have the Dolphins available to you, that's obviously the go-to. So in the end, here's what I like, Chrissy. I'll start today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tennessee, you're telling me they're getting more than 3 at Indianapolis. I'll take Tennessee if I'm getting 3 in a hook. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's been very, very good to me through the last couple seasons. Arizona at New England. What was the number you were posting on that?
What am I posting? I'm going to post 3, yeah. But it's higher than that.
Give me the Cardinals.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's lower than that. It's 2.5.
Yeah, give me the Cardinals all day. And then the final one for me would be KC. Yeah. If it's only 3 at Tampa Bay, I'll be KC. How about you?
I favor all those, but I like Pittsburgh, Arizona, Tennessee, and I like Seattle.
Pittsburgh and Seattle. Yeah, I kind of like Seattle. You might talk me into that. Chris Anders, everybody. Chrissy, I thank you as always. An enjoyable 2 hours each and every week. I look forward to it next week as well.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Great talking to you.
And happy Thanksgiving to Chrissy and to all of you. We'll say that many more times between now and Thursday. Good luck with Monday Night Football and everything you're betting from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.